This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shazana Chuang and Philip. But we are now turning our attention to what's going to happen for Christmas. We are exactly a month away from Christmas and Black Friday is happening tomorrow. But there is still the possibility that you as a consumer could be disappointed because supply chain disruptions have caused many would-be holiday gifts to be still at sea, caught up in a mess of global shipping delays.
Yeah, we've seen this most evident in ports like at Long Beach in California. Ships making this 2 to 3 week voyage across the Pacific forced to spend just about that much time waiting in line to dock and discharge thousands of customers' containers. If you go to Google Maps, right? I'm serious. You go to Google Maps, right? You go and zoom in on Long Beach in California. You got all these container ships just waiting to unload their bounty.
So these bottlenecks also mean that companies that hire the shipping lines to move their goods have to place orders several months in advance, paying much higher rates and often order in larger quantities than they have to in the past. So all these factors could be causing a delay in receiving your items and also a drop in discounts. So the big question is, has the supply chain replaced the Grinch and stolen Christmas?
Well, for an outlook on this issue, we have Professor Charles Fine, Dean of the Asia School of Business, on the line with us. Good morning, Charles. Thanks very much for speaking to us today. Do you expect Black Friday discounts to be shallower due to all these supply chain disruptions?
So that's a very good question. So because of the pandemic last year, Black Friday didn't happen the way it usually happened, even before the supply chain issues, because Black Friday tended to crowd a large number of people in a small space for this retail rush on Friday. And so what the retailers started to do was spread out Black Friday over the course of several days or even a week or longer. So there wasn't such an intense Black Friday last year. And this Friday, the expectations are similar, that the Black Friday traditional sales and discounting actually started as much as a week ago and will run for at least another week or so. So it's spread out over time. And so the peak will not be as intense in the retail outlets. Now, are the discounts as deep? I think there's no reason to think that there still won't be enticing discounts that are ongoing to try to get people into the stores and to begin to do their holiday shopping. So the structure of Black Friday is changing in terms of the timing, but I think the pricing will still see lots of attractive discounts.
And Prof, looking across the chain, what was holding up inventory?
One of the things that happened when the pandemic hit is a lot of factories shut down for a significant period of time, and a lot of retailing slowed down, although a lot of people continued to order from home and, in fact, ordered more things from home. And so the inventories in the close to the markets began to get drained and used up, and new inventory was not coming in because the factories were closed for a significant time. So there built up a shortage in many supply chains where product was being sold, but new product wasn't refreshing it. When the factories began to reopen as the pandemic got under control, they started operating full speed to try to catch up for the months that they had missed. And meanwhile, the demand never slowed down. So there was a significant shortage for a while in many commodities. But because the factories were working full speed ahead, they eventually pumped out a lot of inventory, a lot of product. And then that product had to go on into the logistics system, into boats and trucks and trains and airplanes to be shipped to the markets. And at that point in time, in some sense, the bubble moved from lots of production going on to lots of shipping going on. And then the shipping capacity became quite strained. So we saw lots and lots of ships backed up, not able to use the ports, the many containers waiting because there weren't enough trucks to take the containers, some trucks waiting because there weren't enough drivers. So we saw this, you know, the image of what they call the pig and the python working its way through the system, sort of hit the logistics system after it hit the factory system. So I think that's one way to think about how this supply chain dynamic process has unfolded.
You know, many attribute the supply chain disruptions to Asia. Is Asia really the major culprit?
So no, I think if there's a culprit, it's the pandemic. I mean, Asia tends to have heavy manufacturing relative to consumption, whereas America and Europe have heavy consumption relative to manufacturing. So people have said Asia is the factory of the world, if you will. So the problem was that you have to get the product from the Asian factories to the consumer markets. And so it's not really the fault of geography. It's the challenge of the disruptions of the pandemic. However, the reaction to this has been some retail companies and companies in the US and Europe have said, well, maybe we want to have our manufacturing closer to our retail market so we're not so dependent on these long supply lines. So if there's ever a disruption like this again, we don't have the same kind of supply delays. So that's not the fault of Asia. It's kind of the fault of the imbalance between where production happens and where consumption happens. But as the Asian economies continue to grow, more and more consumption is occurring in the Asian economies themselves. So this thing is likely to balance itself out over time.
So over the past weeks, we've seen these pictures of these fully loaded containers floating off ports of the U.S. and in China. Is the situation improving at the moment?
So it should improve, right? The autumn quarter is the busiest time of year for this shipping because the retail peak in the Western countries tends to be December, November and December. And so the peak of manufacturing and shipping to meet those markets tends to be several months earlier. So when we saw those ships off the port of Los Angeles in say, August, that was really, so August and September is kind of the peak shipping time, whereas January, February tends to be a much slower time for procurement and consumption in the Western markets, whereas it may be a peak, in, obviously Chinese New Year happens in the first quarter in Asia. So I think we have seen the peak of that congestion. And it's going to work itself off as the demand slows down in the first quarter in the Western markets, the logistics system will be able to catch up to a significant degree. It may not the bulge may not completely go away, but it should go down and things should get back to normal. And I've already seen reports that many of the retailers are saying it's starting to feel like the worst is over and we do see some return towards a better equilibrium.
And Moody's Analytics expects the current supply chain disruptions, the chip shortage, energy crisis, labor shortages, all of them to get worse before they get better. Do you agree with that assessment?
I mean, in terms of the logistics bottlenecks, because the total amount of shipping does go down in the first quarter, I think that's going to give the logistics companies time to work things off. I mean, it does seem like there will be some other resistant issues like labor force issues. So in many markets, particularly in the United States, but in others as well, many more people have decided because of the pandemic, I want to quit my job. I want to do something different. And so some of the retailers and some of the logistics companies have had more trouble hiring people. Now, the response of some of the richer companies like Amazon.com, for example, which is a major user of the logistics networks, they've decided to raise their rate, their pay. So they're paying people more, trying to get workers to come to their facilities and work for them. So it could be that the rich will get richer. That is, these big companies that can afford to pay more will hire more of these workers, and the smaller companies that cannot may not be able to survive or may have to shrink. So we may see some ongoing shifts in which companies are winners and which companies are losers as a result of these dynamics. But I think there's a huge amount of motivation amongst all the members of the supply chain to not have this thing drag out, to solve these problems, to break the bottlenecks. So I'm maybe a little more optimistic than Moody's, but they probably have more data than I have.
Are there any measures to be taken to avoid this in the future?
Well, so as I said, I think that the underlying cause was the pandemic, and hopefully pandemics don't happen more often than every 100 years or so. Let's hope not, at least. But there are obviously other kinds of shocks to the system. I mean, there can be local shock of bad weather or earthquakes and things like that that can disrupt factories and supply chains. But the pandemic was global. It hit every factory and every supply chain at the same time. So it was quite extraordinary because usually disruptions are just local. That is, you have one area that might have a devastating earthquake or hurricane or typhoon or something. But it doesn't disrupt the entire world's supply chain. So I think it probably would be very expensive to build up enough advanced inventory to ensure against another global pandemic. Rather, I think, as I said, some companies are going to rethink their supply chain strategy, maybe try to have more production capability closer to their markets. But I think it takes a simultaneous global disaster of some sort to cause what we're seeing now. And hopefully those are very few and far between.
Charles, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Professor Charles Fine, Dean at the Asia School of Business.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.